promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's Friday, October 7th. We're back in the studio live after being absent for a few days. I actually enjoyed sleeping in.
Lucky you. I didn't get to sleep in.
No.
Darn it.
You know, but even when I sleep in, it's just not enough. I don't know. It's never enough sleep.
It's like the more you get, the more tired you get.
Exactly. And then it's nice and warm under the blanket, and I'm like, just leave me in bed. You
know? Especially this week. It's been freezing when I wake up. I'm like, that's the worst.
It's very cold. Yeah,
when you wake up and you're still freezing. Hate getting out of bed.
And we had rain the other day, so that was cool.
Yeah,
so it started feeling like fall, you know?
It did, officially. Yeah.
Do you like rain?
I hate rain.
Really?
I hate rain. Unless, like, I get a day where I literally can just stay home and watch movies and drink hot chocolate, then I'm cool. But that never happens.
I see. So you don't like to drive in the rain. I don't blame you.
No, and I had to drive all the way to Anaheim.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In the rain?
In the rain.
Wow.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how was your week?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I worked the Microsoft convention in Anaheim.
Oh, really?
Which was Sunday through Thursday. And, you know, it's like me and a bunch, literally like 7,500 nerds, which I love because I love nerds. I'm consider myself one of them.
So you were in your element there.
I was totally in my element. And I worked with an interesting company called Metalogix. And they're just like a SharePoint type program. If you know anything about computers, you're kind of familiar with them probably. And they just help companies store data to make it sound as simple as possible, because it gets pretty complex. It goes way over my head.
Really?
Yeah. I just smile and look pretty.
So did you meet any interesting people there?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say interesting. it's a totally different world, you know.
Yeah.
Their lives are they have the normal Monday through Friday jobs, and I'm not used to that.
Right.
So for me, it's fun because they're always asking me questions. They're very intrigued by what I'm doing, because I just kind of randomly get contracted to work specific events, and I have to learn, you know, about these companies from scratch.
Yeah.
And then after those 4 or 5 days, you know, that company's completely out of my life, and I move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I don't really work those often, but they're fun, and you learn so much.
Yeah, I'm sure. So they do make sure you know a little bit about the company before you get out there.
Yeah, I don't like to do, you know, there's a big difference between booth babes, where you're like in a bikini and just kind of smiling and looking pretty. And then there's like, I sometimes actually am a sales representative for the company or whatever it may be, and considered a product specialist, something like that.
Yeah.
Which was kind of what I was doing for this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, did you understand what they were doing? Were you able to hold a decent conversation with people?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
But, you know, the thing is, you know, the second people look at me or the other girls, because there were four of us, the second they look at us, they know, you know, you don't work for the company, which is so wrong. You know, it's like, how dare you? I get so insulted. I'm like, what are you trying to say?
Well, they know that they put pretty women there. Maybe that's why, you know.
Right. Yeah. But intelligent pretty women, might I clarify. So we just have like a few hours training beforehand, just going over everything. And, you know, me and the other girls are, for the most part, they're all actors. So, you know, we learn things pretty quickly. It's just like memorizing a script. Pretty simple. But then they actually have, you know, real company representatives, the owner, the CEO, a few people are always there.
Right.
So that, you know, if somebody is really interested, then we just send them to one of our true experts.
Yeah.
But if they're not, then we can just kind of handle some kind of, you know, one-on-one talk.
Right.
It's
now
fun.
This was a Microsoft convention.
Microsoft.
And did you guys feel anything about Steve Jobs there? I mean, did they commemorate it and stuff?
Well, that was 2 days ago, right?
2 days ago.
That was actually, it hit my heart really bad. I don't know. It hit me.
Yeah, a lot of people,
I'm sure. And yeah. I normally don't get affected. But, yeah, at the event, it was like kind of halfway through the day, I believe, and one of the guys just mentioned, hey, you know, Steve Jobs died. Mm. And everybody, there was just kind of a silence. And then one girl said, you're joking, right? This is a joke. You're joking. I can't believe it. I mean, he's so young, 55, 56.
Yeah.
We all knew he had cancer, but that's just, it's so sad.
Yeah, it really is, you know, because, I mean, some people consider him like the Einstein of our generation.
Oh, without a doubt.
He's changed so many industries. It's just amazing.
Brilliant.
You know? I mean, he single-handedly saved the music industry by creating iTunes and, you know, giving people an alternative to illegal downloads. So, you know, so that was one thing. The iPod, obviously. And, you know, and then later, you know, people
Apple.
Are forgetting about the Macs. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you've got the Macs that have been revolutionary for a long time.
Oh, I mean, I'm a total Apple person.
Really?
You won't see me with any PC of any sort. Anybody that, you know, a lot of people are scared to switch over. But I'm telling you, man, is it 10 times better?
Yeah.
It's just so much better than any PC.
They've got really good products.
No, they do.
Kidding about that. And
so, he will always be remembered.
I'm using an Apple laptop, but I've got Windows running on it because I have I have a lot of programs that are not on the Mac. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I still enjoy the hardware and everything, and it's a very reliable laptop.
Sure.
So, you know, damn, they know how to design their products.
Oh, yeah. They all have their pluses and minuses. I'm sure PC is better in certain ways than Apple and vice versa. But, oh, yeah. And, like, what I love is my PC, when I used to have one, it always would get viruses, and that just drove me nuts. And I, knock on wood, I have not had a problem with my MacBook Pro in 2 years. Like, I haven't had a problem since I bought it. Again, knock on wood.
Yeah. That's cool.
Always say that and screw myself over.
Yeah. You know, and things we take for granted like Windows and the mouse, you know, the Mac was the first one to use that. And I've read Steve Jobs' story so many times, you know.
Really?
It's really fascinating to hear. He was adopted at a very early age. And this just shows you, you know, that adopted kids can still achieve a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Because, yeah, that's funny. Like, a few weeks ago, I think we mentioned how, you know, like, adopting it's very risky because you don't know where this kid's coming from. And a lot of the time, you know, that I know people who were adopted, they, you know, it's like you're teaching a kid from scratch even how to eat.
Right.
And a lot of the times, it's just very risky.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I had no idea he was adopted.
Yeah, he was adopted.
Wow.
And he dropped out of college and everything. And, you see, he wasn't as much a techie as Steve Wozniak was, who was his partner. And but Steve had always had the vision, and he was a marketing genius. And, you know, from almost the beginning, they were doing very well. The company became big. And then he was fired by a CEO that he had hired.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He had hired the CEO of Pepsi and, you know, telling him the famous line of, you can continue selling sugar water or change the world, you know.
Oh, God.
And the guy jumped Pepsi and went to Apple. And then after about a year or two, he managed to get Jobs fired.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole story.
Sure.
But also Jobs put money and bought Pixar. And you know who Pixar are, right?
Oh, of course. They're huge.
Who doesn't know?
Who doesn't know? Yeah.
But at that point, they hadn't made any movies yet. They were just making the small, short movies. And he had bought them and made them what they are today.
That's amazing. You know? It really boggles me that you just told us, too. He dropped out of college. He never even finished. I just love that because so many people are all about, you know, I remember even when I first started, I graduated my little conservatory. I didn't go to regular college or anything. And people were really judgmental. And it was almost like, you know, they looked down on you because you didn't have a college degree or a master's, anything.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so many geniuses come from it because a lot of people don't need that.
They don't find their place in college. You know, they can't be confined in that way. That's true. I mean, Bill Gates did the same thing.
I guess it just depends also on your career. I mean, obviously, if you're a doctor or a lawyer, you absolutely have to go to college.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really any way of moving around that. But other careers, I mean, if you think outside the box and you're just... You can do it without college.
Yeah.
It's really about the hard work and just teaching yourself.
Yeah. Definitely. And so there's a book going to be that was planned to be published next month, but they're going to release it this month. Mm-hmm. About Steve Jobs, and
it's
a biography. Yeah, so it's funny because I had it on back order, and apparently day he died, it jumped from 400 from the position of 437 to number one.
No way. Yeah. Well, of course.
You say
now.
Like 43,000% jump.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would like to buy that too, actually.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So, like I said,
wow.
there's been a few books about him, but they're saying this is an authorized story. So,
and all Steve the more Jobs, reason to get it.
Yeah, yeah. He used to keep quiet, you know. I mean, he's sort of like a mysterious figure because he never was in the public eye and stuff, you know.
Right.
Was kind of shy and they're just private.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't really know much about him.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, even when somebody said Steve Jobs died, it didn't actually click to me until they said Apple, the Apple guy, or
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I was just, oh, holy crap. That's, you know, he will be missed.
I
true
know.
Genius.
Definitely,
true genius.
Definitely. And like you said, he was young. And
very young.
It's unfortunate. He could have done a lot more. But I think he left his mark now.
Oh, he did, without a doubt.
On, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he is just, I mean, made so many amazing things now
that
we will all never forget.
Yeah. So we'll see. And this happened like a day after Apple announced the new iPhone.
i4S.
Yeah.
I know.
Which
I can't
believe
that.
Which is a... you know, which is boring to me, you know.
Did your son make you buy it yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I mean, because it's not really, really different from the iPhone 4.
Mm.
And, you know, people anticipated iPhone 5 for a year. And now it just came out with 4S, which is just minor changes. New processor and voice
I see.
Commands and things like that.
I cannot keep up with all this stuff because it just seems like, I don't know, isn't there any point where we've had enough, we don't need new changes
right.
and changes and changes?
Yeah, that's what people were saying. What else can they innovate?
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know without Steve if it's going to continue like that. But
I'm definitely curious to see how things progress with the company. I mean, without a doubt, they are successful and I can't even imagine them ever going under. You know, I mean, it's just a brilliant product. I mean, my MacBook is my boyfriend, literally.
Yeah. Well, when he joined them back in the 80s, they... when he joined them back after he was fired, they were on the verge of not bankruptcy, but they were losing a lot of money. They didn't do very
really?
Well, yeah. And now, after ExxonMobil, they're the largest company in the world as far as market value. Can you imagine?
Incredible.
And, you know, I mean, you have companies that have, like, big market share, and yet Apple does not have a lot of, like, on the Mac side, they've always, they never had more than, like, 10% of the market. So it never became a big deal as far as quantities and stuff. But the Mac has left such an impression on people and changed people's lives, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
To this day.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I know. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, I saw on your Facebook you had some time for Disneyland yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Tell me all about
it.
I love Disneyland.
Right. Oh, I do, too.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday was the last day of the trade show, and it was a very short day. They ended it at 2:30.
Right. They always do that.
Yeah. And honestly, it could have been ended at 12 because no one was there.
Yeah.
So we were just gossiping for 2.5 hours. And then one of the girls that I was working with became, you know, we had an instant chemistry, a friendship chemistry. I love that.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, she hooked us up with Disneyland tickets because one of her friends or somebody works there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, those cost a lot of money.
I know. So we got to go for free, me and her, and we had a few glasses of wine before we entered the park.
Wow, that would be a good way to experience Disneyland.
I'm telling you, I've only been to Disneyland once before this, and it was during Christmas time, which is really cool.
Right.
But now they had all the Halloween stuff out, and it's very spooky and cool, and you know they changed all the rides to make it very costumey and scary. And my favorite was Space Mountain. Have you been on that one?
Oh yeah, I've been on it.
It's so dark and there are these lights everywhere. It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, a roller coaster in
but
the dark.
When you have wine in you after not eating much all day, I was freaking out.
Really?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun though. I had a ball.
Were you getting scared though?
No, well, I mean not scared, but you just feel different. You know, I mean, I had liquor in me. Yeah. Not too much, but enough to like, whoa. It just, you know, the thrill of it was multiplied by 10.
I'm sure. Wow.
And with her too, you know. We
as
were tripped out.
As long as you
out.
Didn't get sick, that's
no,
fine.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So Space Mountain's fun. Finding Nemo is adorable.
Oh, really? I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's great. You're on like a little submarine type boat mm-hmm. underneath, and they just kind of take you underwater, and that you can see just, you know, all the seaweed and fish, different things
right.
walking around, and they tell a story. Actually, the girl I went with, that's the ride that she said she fell in love with her boyfriend on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was, at the submarine.
Yeah, I was like, submarine. Wow, I could see why. Because yeah. it was very, I don't know, it was very romantic,
yeah.
believe it or not. Yeah.
Hold on, we got a phone call.
For
let's
sure.
see. Yeah. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Brandon Floor.
Hello, how are you?
Do you know Brandon?
I think so, yeah. Oh, no. What's
yeah,
up, Brandon?
We do know each other. We met at that fly ball event thing.
I know exactly who you are. What's
yeah,
up?
Yeah.
What's a fly ball event?
I was looking at your show, but I heard you guys talking about Digimon. I'm just curious.
What? He just got disconnected. Well,
oh, no.
He didn't seem to have a good connection. I'm sure
hopefully
he'll call back.
Hopefully he'll call back. Yeah. Oh, no. I got my heart kind of stopped there for a second.
Why?
Because he's a great guy.
Oh,
but
okay.
I haven't been returning text messages probably as much as I should be.
I see. Okay. Well, you already made it clear you don't like texting that much. So
yeah, I hate it. I truly hate it.
That. Yeah.
It's just, and you know what? It's not that it's just when you're busy, you know, like when I have free time, I don't mind texting, but you know, a lot of the time I'm just really busy and I have 10 things going on at once. So the last thing I want to be doing is texting, you know,
yeah.
stories on, you know, on your phone. Yeah. I just don't know. I get so frustrated.
Yeah. Here he is again.
Brandon.
Brandon.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay. So go on. You were talking about
Disneyland.
Yeah. So did they actually change the Haunted Mansion to the theme of Tim Burton, The Nightmare Before Christmas? Did they already do that? Or
They did. I went on that one as well. It was so cool.
Do they do that every year?
Nice.
Yeah, the Haunted Mansion. Yeah, it's like you're on like these little things with one. You can. It's you and another person.
Gone. He's gone.
Whatever.
Okay, he's got a very good cell phone, I guess.
Regardless, that's a really cool ride, and it's inspired by Tim Burton. And if you haven't had a chance, check his exhibit out at the LACMA Museum.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Did you get a chance to see it yet?
No, of course not. I have not had time.
Oh, well.
But I will.
So the Disney thing, I mean, the submarine sounds familiar, so maybe they still had them. But they just changed the theme, you know, to Finding Nemo.
Cause that's
true. Before it didn't really have a theme. You were just in the submarine. It was going around.
Right. Yeah, I think the Finding Nemo is slightly, possibly new. Who knows? Who knows? It's funny that, like, because I was there last year around Christmas time. And, you know, I went on all these rides. But, you know, when my friend's mentioning them, I'm like, I've never been on that one. I don't know. And then the second you get on, you instantly remember it.
Right.
So I pretty much had been on every single ride I went on last night.
Yeah.
But now I'll really remember them.
What about Small World? Do you go on that one?
Oh,
Small World?
We didn't have a chance to do that one last night, but that's one of my favorites.
Is it really?
It is.
I just go crazy with the song because it's like for 20 minutes.
It's kind of creepy, right? It's a small world. And you've got these little dolls dancing around and drummers drumming. I just am amazed, though, at all the detail on all of these rides. Mm. That's what I think why Disneyland's so special. You know, it's not like any other amusement park where it's just, you know, quick, you know, in and out roller coaster and it's just the ride. But they truly tell stories and they're so beautiful visually. There's just so much there.
Mm, yeah.
So
it's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere in Disneyland is pretty cool. Were there a lot of people, a lot of kids?
There were tons of people and I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
But I get, God, they get so much business. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Lots of kids. I thought, oh my God, what are you guys doing? You have school tomorrow. You know? But it's usually, it's like all adults. It's like half adults. And then the kids that are there are like, you know, under 5 years old. They're super little.
Yeah.
And obnoxious because they're crying nonstop. But you gotta love it. I had the most amazing, like, I don't even know what you'd call it. Well, it's like a soup in a bread bowl type thing.
Yes. Okay, oh, I've seen those before.
Clam chowder in this bowl. Oh, it was so good.
Was it?
Yeah, but they give you like 3 tablespoons of soup with all this bread. I'm like, what was up with that? I felt like going to get refills of soup. Can you just fill this bowl back up?
You ate that in the park?
Yeah, most expensive soup I've ever purchased.
I'm sure, yeah. Everything is so highly priced there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And they take advantage of it because, you know, people come there, they prepare to spend a lot of money.
Of course.
And I think, you know, for a family of, you know, four or something, probably spend over $600 easily, you know, if not more, because just the... The admission is what, like $80 or something, maybe?
I'm not quite sure. Both times that I've gone,
I've
not
know.
Had to pay.
You didn't have to pay.
But my friend said it really wasn't that expensive. It's not that expensive.
Really?
I mean, put it this way. Like, I went to the L.A. County Fair a few weeks ago, which is such a ball. I went with a really good person. Right. And so we had a grand time. But, you know, when you go to those fairs, you know, you're paying like $20 just to get into the fair.
Right.
And then every single ride costs another $5 to $10.
Wow.
So, I mean, really, Disneyland...
Yeah, the fairs, yeah.
Equivalent, if not cheaper.
That's true, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I'm checking out the prices here. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm curious too.
That is crazy.
It's definitely an expensive family trip, you know? It's a special thing you should do. Like, my family used to do it once a year.
Yeah. You see, I was right. I mean, one day pass is $80.
Wow.
For ages 10 and up. Mm. Now, look, for a family here, they're giving you family packages.
Yeah.
And for... that's an annual passport, $269. Okay.
That's a nice deal. If you live here and go often, all you have to do is go more than, what, three times and you've made it up?
Yeah, but some people have like $5 or $6, six-day tickets. I can't imagine that.
Wow. Yeah. I recommend, especially not for Disneyland, because Disneyland's two parks. You can really see all of it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Disney World in Florida, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, you need a few days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to that one?
Disney World, I had the pleasure of performing at for a whole month when I was like 16 years old as a dancer because I was pursuing dancing.
Right.
So I did that for the summer, and so I got a really nice Disney experience.
Wow, that's cool.
Epcot's my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's all the different countries. It's really cool. You can explore. Oh, it's such a great family trip. And thank God I got to go because, like, ever since I had my family never was the type to go on vacations.
Yeah.
And I had two younger sisters. Literally right when I moved to New York City to pursue my acting, when I became officially an adult, that's when they started going once a year to Disney World. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have never gone with my family to Disney World.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm dying to go there because I hear so many great things about it. You know, they say Disneyland is nothing compared to...
Nothing. You know, it's so tiny. World. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's still fun nonetheless, especially for like a one-day trip because I'm not the type that wants to go to an amusement park for 6 days in a row.
Yeah.
In Disney World in Florida, you need days to see everything.
Yeah. I know. Have you been to Universal Studios in Florida?
I feel like I did go when I was there, but I vaguely would remember it.
I wonder if that one's better than the one we have here, too.
It has to be. It definitely is. I've been to the one here and I was not impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is where the studios are, right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
What else is going on?
Yeah. Have you been to other parts of Florida or just to Orlando?
Not really. I didn't even get a chance to truly explore because, you know, when you're working, you're like, I'm just literally on the Disney World lot, you know?
Right.
So I didn't really explore any other places in Florida. Although my grandmother now has a little beach house somewhere in Florida, but it's not like, I don't even know where. I haven't been to it yet. Isn't that horrible? Because she mainly lives in Pennsylvania. But she goes there every, around the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere, it's farther out. It's not like Miami.
Right.
I would love to go to Miami, though. I've heard crazy things.
Yeah, Miami is cool. There's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a party town for sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Dancing with the Stars by any chance?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry. Why? What happened
there? I get very disturbed. I kind of mentioned this last week or whenever that was when we had our beautiful guest Bethany in.
Yes.
About overcoming sexual
abuse. Which was an amazing show.
Very uplifting.
I got so much feedback for it.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Crazy story. She's just stunning too. Like when you just never know what she'd have been through.
Yeah, what people go through. Absolutely. Yeah. If you guys missed that, go back to the September 30th show. That was last Friday when Bethany was here.
Bethany Ruck. Yeah.
It was a very, very powerful show.
Overcoming Sexual Abuse. You can look them up on Facebook and you can read all about her story online too. I mean, it's just a crazy, phenomenal story.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, I was, I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. I can't even watch it though anymore. I watched like the first two and I just get so pissed off because there's this guy, Chaz Bono.
Uh-huh.
on the show, and you know, they're not, you know, in the first few seasons they were like just doing celebrities. Now they're picking kind of all walks of earth, different, you know, just different people from different athletes, what business owners.
I know,
owners.
And he doesn't even look good. They usually choose people that look great, you know.
Or sexy.
He doesn't even look good, but
well,
just because he's in
Chaz
the news.
Chaz Bono is a transgender.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the least, I'm so disturbed at how everyone's reacting to him being a transgender. It's like this mortifying thing to everyone. How dare people judge someone? Mm-hmm. That's not something he was, you know, he was born with and decide. It's just,
yeah.
I just don't understand. And it, there's so much bullying now with like kids killing themselves over homosexuality. And you know, you expect these, you know, the bullying to stop with kids, but how can you truly expect that to happen when the adults, everyone in the adult community, politicians, just so many people are bullying.
Yeah.
And even like on Access Hollywood or whatever one of those shows, they're all the same to me. They're like literally just making fun of Chaz Bono. Making fun of him.
Really?
It's just
for
so,
changing his gender.
For being a transgender.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just so anyway, just word of advice, people, stop bullying. Grow up, you know?
Yeah.
Just because somebody's different, shouldn't that make us more special and unique? Not someone to insult. I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, you glorify, you look up to these the people that are different or whatever, you know, and he's not different. And he's a transgender. Who cares? He's a human.
Yeah.
I get so upset.
Do you?
I do. I get worked up. It's so childish, I think. People are just very black and white, you know.
Well,
we need to open up our minds.
Yeah. Well, I guess people don't know how to react to something like that. You know, it's not something you see every day.
Right, but my question is, does it truly affect you? Does it affect you and your household? Does it? No, it doesn't.
Right.
So why make it worse than it is?
Well, when people are in the public eye, people like to judge them and react and comment and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just as much of a blunt person. I love making fun of people, but I do it in good humor, you know.
Yeah.
When I think something's not right, I'm going to speak up about it.
Yeah.
And that I do not think is right.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
We'll lodge in a complaint for you.
Thank you, Sam. You're a doll. My great aunt had 4 cats, outdoor cats, that she kind of just brought into her home because they just magically appeared at her doorstep.
Is that the one that lives out here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, now, she's been taking care of these cats for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And we had to put one of them to sleep about 2 or 3 months ago, which was really sad for her.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, like 2 weeks ago, another one became incredibly sick, literally to the point that I didn't realize it was that bad, but the cat's back 2 legs couldn't even walk. I mean,
wow.
It looked like she was drunk or, you know, she would just try to start walking and then she'd just totally flip over.
I remember this happened to my kids' cats when they were young. They had a cat also could not walk anymore, or they walk like sideways or something, you know. So what happened there?
Well, we're assuming, I mean, there are 2 things. It could be kidney failure, which a lot of cats get, you know, when they're older.
Right.
Or, you know, these are outdoor cats. Antifreeze, poisoning that they lick because they like the taste and they don't realize how harmful it is. And the reason why I expect it to be that is, or suspect it to be that, is because that's exactly what happened to the first cat that passed away. And then this cat now that we've had to put to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 2 cats are also, you know, their noses are falling off. I mean, it's like insane. So I think it's antifreeze. They've been.
And where did they find it?
I'm not quite sure. But.
Because I don't see it like, you know, available anywhere. Yeah.
Well, no, because they're, like, these aren't cats that live in the house at all. Like, they were kind of just, they happened to be on her doorstep. And she's an older woman, and, you know, she loves these cats and just kept them outside and feeds them every day. So we're assuming they do, you know, run around everywhere, and they were at one point locked in someone's garage, and I'm not quite sure. We're assuming it could have been that because that's around the time that it started. But, you know, it's sad. I thought, you know, I'm a tough girl. So when I go over to her house, I'm like, telling my second cousin, oh, I'm going to be fine. You know, I'll help give the medicine to this cat. I'm fine. And the first time I saw the cat limping, I seriously, boom, my eyes. I just was bawling my ass off.
Wow.
I couldn't stop crying. Nancy's like, you better go in the other room. Because then when Ursula, my great aunt, sees me bawling my ass off, you know, of course it gets sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
You know, these cats become part of your family.
Yeah.
I was devastated. It's so sad. So may you rest in peace.
Yeah. It amazes me how much money people will spend on their pets and stuff. But, you know, when you think about it, that it's part of the family. you know, and many people consider it that, then it makes sense.
It does.
It makes sense to try and save them. And you know.
I mean, I certainly, like, I would never spend, like, the amount a lot of people do, or, like, literally taking their dogs or cats to, like, these playgrounds or, well, right. What, you know, but the cats, they do become your friends and, you know, I mean, food and litter box and that stuff. I mean, I would do the obvious.
Right.
The practical things, but spending $100 on a little shirt for my dog.
Yeah.
No.
No, but I meant more like medical needs and things like that, you know?
Oh, right.
Because sometimes it amazes me how many thousands of dollars people will spend on their pets.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, you know, when you realize it's part of the family and that's how people view it.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, they don't think twice about
mm-hmm.
it.
Back home in Maryland, I have a cat that has been with me since I was like 16, you know, mm-hmm. or not even, I mean, 12 or 13, because he's like, yeah, 14 years old or so. Mm-hmm. I can't do the math. I'm horrible right now. The wine from yesterday. But no, yeah, he's truly, you know, part of the family.
Yeah.
Part of the family. Can't imagine him gone. And cats now live up to be like 20 years old, 21, 22.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, they can
live
to be older. But it's weird because I had a friend who had a cat that was 20 years old and then another one that was 22. Mm. And as soon as the 22-year-old cat passed away, the other one just a month after passed. Because cats, I think, sense, you know, they when they're together, they kind of sense each other's... when they lose one, you know, their kind of heart dies. You know, you just kind of sense that death. And I think people sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Because when my great-grandma died... soon after that, my grandpa passed because his heart, he couldn't.
Yeah.
It was a mourning.
With people, it's like that. You know, it happens quite a bit, mm-hmm. I think, when one of them passes away and then the other one does, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what are you going to do, you know?
I know.
At least it's true love, I guess, you know.
True love, baby.
When they're like that.
True love. have you ever been to Oakland, California?
Yes, I have.
Is it ghetto? Because everyone that's telling
me... It is ghetto.
Oh, no. I'm kind of excited, though. I'm going to Oakland right after this.
Oh, really?
To film. Yeah, I'll be filming all weekend. Uh-huh. There'll be night shoots. So I'll be filming all night tonight, pulling a 24-hour, then tomorrow night, then Sunday night.
Wow.
And then I'll be here, like, insane on Monday morning, probably not being able to think straight. But it should be interesting.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to be there for the first time.
So 3 days of shooting?
Yeah, three night shoots. It's going to be kind of intense.
Yeah.
It should be fun. I'm excited. I love the ghetto. I grew up in the ghetto. Kind of PG County in the house. Yeah, in Maryland. Prince George's County. Oh, man.
Yeah, but
like
you probably won't
person.
See any of that, you know. But they're doing outdoor shoots, right?
Yeah.
If it's nighttime.
Yeah, it's pretty much all outdoors. Yeah. I'm a news reporter, a very bitchy news reporter.
Really?
Yeah, doing a spook. It's like a Halloween Goosebumps-like spoof.
Uh-huh.
That'll be part of a DVD collection of shorts. And yeah, I play a bitchy news reporter who, you know, I mean, she is just the biggest smartass of all time. And she's got these two interns with her that are driving her nuts. And they end up, we're doing a news report in the woods about a haunted ghost story. And of course, we get a special surprise and there's like literally a zombie or, you know, some kind of funky creature that ends up like destroying the next 3 days of our lives. Should be fun.
So it's a short. It's going to be on video, on DVD.
Right. It'll be a DVD distribution. It'll be like a collection of 3 to 4 different shorts. Shorts like 45 minutes. Could easily be a TV pilot, cut it down to 30-minute type thing.
Right.
It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I like these things.
Yeah, sounds like fun. So is it a pretty big part?
Oh, yeah. I'm literally the whole short. I mean, I'm in every single scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty intense. Yeah. It should be fun. It's actually really, it's a unique little storyline. Usually, you know, these Halloween films are kind of stupid, or horror films, or I'm not too into them. This script, though, I really love.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm really excited. And the character, she's got so many dimensions to her, you know?
Yeah. So now, how did you find out that you could act? I mean, I can imagine that you wanted to.
Right.
But what did you do? I mean, did you go to school? Did you just... Do it,
right.
Embrace it.
Well, literally, since I like came out of my mommy's belly, I knew I wanted to be a performer. I just didn't know in what way.
Right.
So my parents threw me in dance classes.
Right.
And I danced up until the age. I mean, well, I danced like my whole childhood. Mm-hmm. And it was when I had an injury in like when I was about, I don't know, 16, like in whatever 10th grade, 9th, 10th grade is. I had to take a year off dancing, which was devastating because that truly was my life. Monday through Friday in the evenings, I was taking dance classes. On the weekends, I was competing, you know?
Yeah.
I was always dancing.
I'm sorry, but were you injured while you were dancing or was that unrelated?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well,
wow.
I did cheerleading also in high school, and it was my first year in cheerleading that I was a, you know, the flyer where, you know, yeah, they lift you up, and I had a serious injury.
Wow.
Yeah, sciatic nerves on the hip, hit the ground so bad.
Wow.
I couldn't walk for like 2-3 months. And then the whole year after that, I mean, that whole year, I couldn't dance at all.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, you'd have to stretch, just stretch. I honestly thought I wasn't ever going to recover. Because
yeah,
even up to 2 to 3 years after that, like if I doing splits, mm-hmm, like that left side, it just was never the same.
Wow. And but you're so lucky. I mean, you could have been, you know, it could have been so much worse.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that aspect. But I'm also very lucky because I thank God for that injury because that year is when I started doing the drama club in high school. And then I started doing community theater. I just fell in love with performing, with theater.
Okay.
It was just, there's something about it. I just loved it. That's kind of when I truly knew I wanted to be an actor is when
right,
I had the injury and started discovering
right,
the theater.
But then you came here. I mean, you started acting in films or whatever you were acting in. How did you approach it? I mean, how did you know what to do?
Well, acting's weird. You know, you can't, they always tell you in school to, you know, have a plan. And I'm telling you, life never goes as planned, first of all. And especially with this career path, mm-hmm, you have to be kind of open to many things. Right after high school, I moved to New York City. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 4.5 years. I trained a little bit at a conservatory. And then from there, I just did tons of regional theater. But I was very naive. I didn't know what I was doing. So I was constantly just trying to learn. And I listened to everything anyone would tell me, you know, mm-hmm, and I would always take some advice from just everybody, all
yeah,
walks of life. Because everybody asks me, well, how do you pursue? Or, you know, I've been doing this for years and I just, how are you where you are? And I'm like, first of all, I'm like nowhere. I mean, I have some credits, but, you know, there are people way ahead of me. And it's really just about exploring and not pursuing it in one way, like just accepting whatever kind of comes your way and
right,
and not handling it like an amateur. I mean, you have to be a businesswoman too, or
right,
a businessman.
Right.
There are so many contracts involved with acting as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, after New York City, like that was all theater, and then I wanted to move here to try film and TV because
right,
that's what I felt like that's where I truly belonged, and that's
right.
I love the intimacy of being on camera, you know, it's all
yeah,
it's true, there is no lying. And with theater, you know, there's no lying, but it's bigger, you know.
Yeah.
It's multiplied by 10.
Right.
So yeah, here I am in LA. I've been here a little over a year and a half now, and I'm loving it. And
yeah,
then just, you know, a few months ago is when I started discovering hosting and trying
right,
hosting out with a series called Click on This.
Uh-huh.
And now here I am doing some radio, and
yeah,
I just love it. You know, you just don't know where life's going
to
take you.
No, exactly. But you're open to different things, and that's a good thing. You know, you're pursuing different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know.
Yeah, I get bored easily. I like versatility, just being able to do many different things.
Right.
I don't know how anyone can just do one thing. But again,
yeah,
you know, even at the convention, people were, you know, like, I don't know how you do it, because I like the stability of, you know, Monday through Friday work.
Right.
And I know that on that weekend, I don't have to do anything. I can relax. And then I have that paycheck every week, you know,
right,
or biweekly.
Yeah.
And it's not like that for me.
Yeah. That's interesting because yesterday in the paper, I was reading about the study they made. And they found that they were asking people, you know, what do you feel more comfortable with, a 9-to-5 or a different arrangement? And it was split right in the middle, 50%.
Interesting.
50% of the people prefer the 9-to-5. And I guess it's because, you know, once you go home, you don't have to think about work.
Right. Oh,
so
and
it does have its advantage.
Oh, it totally does. Honestly, if there was anything else in the world that I was going to do, that I had was passionate about, I would have done that, you know? Because
yeah,
at least you have a stable life, and especially if you're going to have family and kids, you know, it's very tricky with,
yeah,
you know, the lifestyle I live. Very tricky.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm just enjoying it. I'm still young, and I don't know, one of the girls yesterday was telling me, you know, at 30 is that big number where things just change in your body, and you want kids all of a sudden. I'm like, God, no.
You've got plenty of time.
Yeah. 6 more years.
Yeah.
Or 5.5, actually. Time really flies, you know?
It really does, you know? What I wouldn't give to be in my 20s right now, let me
mm-hmm,
tell you, man. Those are like the best years.
Ha, ha, ha. No, I'm kidding.
No, you're right.
Nanny,
yeah,
nanny,
go
nanny,
ahead,
boo.
Tease me about it.
It's weird. Like, you know, it does go by quickly. At the same time, I think of, oh, you know, something I did maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I can't believe that that was 2-3 years ago. It felt like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it goes by quickly, but it also doesn't. You know, you kind of, I live my days as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I do, I try to fit as much into one day as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Live it up. Live it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever keeps you busy and stuff, you know, that's, I know I get restless too when I don't have anything to do. So I always have to do something. You know?
And interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That's why there's one guy I'm kind of talking to that I kind of sort of really like. He's cool.
Yeah.
Every time we hang out, we're doing crazy things.
Like what?
Well, I don't want to say specifically because I don't want to, I don't want somebody to know who somebody is. Oh, I don't know. Okay. This could be anybody. But I just mean, like, we always do interesting things.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's always unpredictable. You know, we might start out somewhere like dinner, but then we end up God only knows where and doing this and that and that. It's just fun.
Yeah. Well, sounds good. Just tease us with it.
I know, without being as detailed as possible.
Too specific, yeah.
But I've been getting my kissing practice in because we talked about this. Kissing is a stress reliever, right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt. It totally is.
So you've been getting a lot of that?
I've been getting my smooching on. I recommend it to, you know, for everybody. Everyone. Kissing. Yeah. No, it truly is. It releases, you know, that, I don't know, I'm going to talk like, I don't, some kind of, you know, something in your body. I can't think of the word. I don't want to say enzyme because I know that's just wrong. But, yeah, it releases some kind of hormone or I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it truly is a stress reliever. Okay. But we're not talking pecking.
Well, if it works for you, yeah.
It works for everybody.
Does it?
But you have to really kiss, you know? I mean, sensual kissing.
Yeah, well, that happens in the beginning.
What do you mean?
It happens in the beginning. Later on, it's not as passionate anymore.
I know. That, you know, that's my problem, though, and that was always my biggest fear is that's why I try to keep things as fresh, as new as possible, because that's when it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then after I get so bored easily, so my fear is, you know, after 2-3 months, you know, it's not at that beginning stage.
Right.
And then I want to leave it. I want to go to another person for that beginning
stage.
Exactly,
yeah. But you know what? At this point in your life, you can afford to do that. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, you're young. You're still looking for people and things like that, you know? But, yeah, I mean, that's why they say relationships are hard because, you know, once that honeymoon period is over, you have to actually work at it, you know?
Oh,
and then it's not fun anymore.
Oh, my gosh, no.
No butterflies
but
anymore.
But that's the thing. Like, it can be fun. It can still be, you know, I just feel like you have to be on the same page. It has to be like at 50. I'm the type that I won't complain. Like, I'm always in a good mood. If I'm around the guy I really like or who knows, and like the guy I want to be with, I'm always in a good mood.
Yeah.
But if he isn't, or, you know, like, he needs to be in a good mood too. And then we're peaceful. We're great. We're happy.
Right.
But that's never the case. Somebody's always, something will happen where you're, I don't know. There's always miscommunication or something that brings down one person, and then it all explodes.
Yeah. So what's the longest relationship you've been in? 2 months?
No. No, I was in a 3-year relationship.
Really?
But I've been single a year. I broke up with him last September.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a little over a year. And since then, though, yeah, I mean, in the last year, it's been like 2 weeks, 3 week relationships, but not relationships, you know, like just dating.
But 3 years is a long time, but it's still right out of high school and stuff, right?
I had my high school sweetheart and we were together for a year. Uh-huh. And I, to this day, I'm still like best friends with him. Love him to death. And then I was in New York and I met my, you know,
your boyfriend.
3-year relationship guy. Yeah. And he moved out to LA with me and then things just didn't work out. And that was the end of that. But recently we still talk once in a blue moon. You know, we're on good terms. I would, you know, what happened in the past is happening.
Yeah.
There's no going back to that.
Right.
For me, at least.
Yeah. It's cool to stay friends with former flames.
I always have been, but there's one guy. I say I've been in 3 relationships. The high school sweetheart, the 3-year guy, and then there was one that was like a month and a half, but it was a heavy month and a half. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 2 months. Who knows? And he called me this past week.
Uh-huh.
This guy is, no wonder it never worked out between us. He is just a nutso. He is so emotionally unstable. He decides to tell me like 3 years later, oh, I cheated on you.
Really?
Yes! You cheated on me in the month and a half we were together.
Whoa.
And you had to tell me this now. The creepy thing is, that we have the same birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, into astrology, so it kind of freaks me out because I'm like, you are such a nutso. I pray to God people don't think I'm that crazy. I just pray. I know I'm not. Whatever. The more you say you're crazy, the more you're crazy.
Yeah.
This guy, though, I'm just like, why did you even have to tell me? You had to kind of fulfill, you know, make yourself feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you tell that in the first place?
Yeah, or just like, it was just weird. And it's not the, like, if he said, Stephanie, you know, this is something I've had on my chest for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know we only dated a month and a half, but I was unfaithful and was sympathetic about it, then fine. But he like rubbed it in.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like a joke. And I thought, and then he's like, oh, are you mad at me now? I'm like, dude, I have been over you for over 3 years. You don't even exist to me. I don't care. So I'm like, no, I don't give a shit. I just think you're like a 5-year-old. Unbelievable, right?
I guess, yeah.
I just thought in the way he was, it's always the way you say things, you know?
Yeah.
Not what you say, but the way you say it and your intentions with it. And his intentions were to be cruel.
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of weird.
Obviously, that's pretty immature to do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Wow, I don't know what he was thinking.
Have you ever been cheated on?
Yeah, when I was very young.
Really?
Yeah, when I was like 16, 17.
Really?
Know? Yeah,
okay.
That was the first time.
Wow.
So that kind of poisoned my view on girls. It was girls at the time.
I bet. Especially
for
at an
a while.
Early age, yeah.
But not at a later age, at least not that I know of, you know. But
yeah.
I don't think they ever had a reason to cheat, you know.
Right.
If you keep the other person happy, then you're good, you know.
Exactly.
Unless they're, you know, I mean, not necessarily, though. I mean, some people are just like, they don't really have strong morals, you know, or whatever, you know. And then the opportunity comes and they take it.
Yeah.
But no, and I've never cheated either.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
And I never would.
Yeah.
Never. If I even once felt tempted, then I know that I'm not in a relationship worth, you know. It's just, to me, it's just wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I figure, you know, if you're not happy, then just leave and then meet somebody else, you know. But you try to keep the relationship going and take care of your sexual needs at the same time while hurting the other person. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible for it to happen to you, too. I mean, for me, I mean, this guy came out with this whatever. Like, I don't even consider that I've ever been cheated on because that was just nothing to me.
Who gives a shit about him, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, but I can only imagine, you know, if it was the guy I was in a 3-year relationship had cheated on me, that, you know, that would be devastating.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, you know, some people are like that, some are not.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you can sense when things are fishy, too. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing, like, I have really good senses, and that's just with anything, talking to, whether you're a girl or a guy, I can tell whether you're lying, I can tell, you know, whether you're full of shit or whatever you're doing. You know, I know.
Yeah.
Word of advice, people, don't lie to me, because I know, you little suckers. Suckers!
You know, plus, when you've been around for a while, around each other for a while, it's hard to get away and cheat, you know, because the person knows what you're doing all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you change your behavior just a little bit, they're going to notice right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean,
don't lie either. Like, lying is just so stupid to me.
Yeah.
And I used to lie a lot, honestly. Well, yeah, with my 3-year relationship, I mean, I got in trouble all the time. But it was weird. It was like stupid lies. It was almost like I had a problem.
Really?
Instead of saying I went to Quiznos, I'd say I went to Subway. I mean, like, literally stupid things. And then he would catch me, you know, and I'm like, and then I become incredibly, you know, suspicious, you know, and then it's like he thought I was being, you know, I don't know, fishy or, you know, talking to other guys. And I wasn't. I was like, I've been I'm the most innocent person in a relationship.
Really?
But I would do stupid lies. I'm at Burger King when I'm at McDonald's. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Weird.
Not much point in that, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes I also feel like if you ask a question to somebody, yeah, or, you know, you're asked a question, you can make it sound a little better than, you know. But if somebody asks a direct question, I'm going to give them the honest answer. And I expect the same. That's why with guys, I always catch, you know, weird things. Because I'll ask straight up certain things, you know, just very direct questions. Uh-huh. Have you ever hit a girl?
Really?
You know?
Oh,
I'm crazy. Let me see your driver's license. You know, it's weird. I've always...
anybody's going to admit to that.
I have had somebody admit to that. Oh, yeah. But I'm also like... I don't know. I like meaty conversations. And when I talk to people, I'm very honest. Like, I'll tell you my deepest, the things that have happened to me that have hurt me the most or whatever, you know. Right. I'm very open. So, naturally, I feel like, you know, if you're open with somebody, they feel comfortable to be open with you.
Right.
You know, I'm sharing things the same, that are just as, you know, secret, whatever, you know, haunting of my life, in my life. So, they, you know, feel comfortable to open up to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you truly get to know somebody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I suppose. All right, Stephanie, I know we have a lot more to say, but we are out of time. So have a great weekend. Have a successful time in Oakland.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.